location. Some has already gone, headed going to music schools and stuff, and I understand that. And that's one reason the choir sounds so pretty this morning. And so I'm not opposed to it. I'm in favor of it. And I appreciate them trying to dedicate themselves to learning as much as what they can and doing a good job in the singing. Now, I wouldn't think a whole lot of a preacher if he was not willing to study and prepare and to do his best to be ready to preach the Word of the Lord. And when we're attempting to sing or to teach Sunday school or whatever else we do, we ought to take the same approach and do our very best to be prepared to do what we can as well as we can for the honor and glory of God. And so I appreciate their efforts in that regard. In Acts chapter number 8 is where we're reading. If you have found your place in verse 35, I'd invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Acts chapter number 8 and beginning reading in verse number 35. The Word of God says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus." I appreciate the fact that he opened his mouth. There are some that seem to have lockjaw when it comes to the things of God. They're real loud about everything else, and they're always talking about everything else, but they don't have much to say about the Lord. But Philip opened his mouth and began preaching Jesus to him. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. And I may be a little bit clogged up this morning. I run the lawnmower all day and the weed eater yesterday. And I think I swallowed a little bit of too much of the exhaust as well as the grass and all. And I couldn't tell it yesterday, but I can tell it today. But it is a blessing to be able to try to open my mouth and to preach unto you Jesus as Philip did here in this passage of the Word of the Lord. It is a familiar passage about the Ethiopian eunuch. He goes to Jerusalem. He's the treasurer of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, a man of great authority and wealth and power who is seeking help from God for his life. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to believe. He's not had religious training or religious background. But he has heard about this place called Jerusalem and about the great things that God has done there for many years. He goes to that place seeking for answers and seeking for help and looking for some way to make sense out of this mixed up world that he's living in. And he gets there and the Bible said he went to worship. But my friend, he leaves still hungering and still thirsting and still in need. His religious experience in the church at Jerusalem had not met his need. In fact, it seemed to have only fueled his longing to find answers and frustrated him as he searched for them. In fact, when Philip met him in the journey, he was still reading the Word of God, still trying to find what it was that he needed for his life, still searching for some answers in God's precious Word. And when Philip met him as he was reading, he had become convinced that there would be no understanding found for him, that he could not even get help from the Word of God, except he had some man to guide him. That's what he told Philip in this passage of Scripture. But praise the Lord for the fact that when Philip came along, friend, that it was good for him that God had sent some man to guide him. And that some man was Philip. And Philip opened his mouth and preached unto this man Jesus. Philip could have told seeking sinners even in our day. That's where the hope is for my family and for yours, even in our time, friend. It's for some man to God them in the Word of God. They'll look into the Word of God, open their mouths, and to preach Jesus unto our families. Amen. And I realize that I'm not necessarily, I'm my friend, the one that fits in with the days of modern method of preaching. I seldom start a sermon with a joke or a funny. I normally don't talk about the current events and the events of the day. Well, my friend, I realize that it's always my practice to simply open the Bible and look in the Word of God and to preach the Scripture. I don't use many illustrations. And when I do, they're almost always things that just happened to me in life that the Lord's taught me something in. And I don't read a lot of pointy-headed men's books. And I don't read after a lot of men that are dead, as many of my preaching brethren do. And I don't criticize any of that this morning. I just cannot seem to get comfortable with all those things. But I do know this much. There is help for people if you'll just open the Scripture and open your mouth and preach unto them Jesus. Oh, this old world, that's what they need. That's what my family needs. We've heard about all the philosophies of men, and we've heard about all the ideas of men, and we have heard all the entertainment of men. Oh, how our hearts need to hear from heaven. How we need to hear the Word of God. How we need men to open their mouths and from the Bible preach unto us Jesus. He's the answer, my friend. The Democrats don't have the answer. That's for sure. Amen. The Republicans don't have the answer. Oh, my friend, the independents don't even know what the question is. Oh, thank God, but hear me. And Jesus, my friend, Jesus is the answer. This guy was from out of town. He was not like Philip. He was a different color. He had a different background. He had a different educational background. He had a different upbringing. He had a different level in society that he held. He and Philip had little of anything in common at all, except for one thing. And this man had a Bible, and he didn't know what it meant. This man had a Bible, and he didn't know who he was talking about. This man was reading the Word of God, and he needed some man to guide him. Oh, and Philip said, I'm some man, and I know who that's talking about. And if you'll let me, I'll preach to you Jesus. Woo! Oh, bless his name. And Philip preached, and the enemy received it. Amen. And two men who it looked like could not have been any more different. When they found water became the same. Well, that's right. And both of them rejoiced in the same Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know why it is. Man, I was brought up in, if you'd have had to grown up somewhere or another in some sort of Amish community to have been brought up a whole lot straighter than what I was. And all I ever knew was going to church and trying to live for God. And then my friend, the Lord, had to still save my soul. Just like he does. And my friend, the crowd, it grows up rough with a rough pack crowd. But who in the world would have ever thought that the Lord would have saved somebody like me, then send them behind prison walls and preach to the convicts. Who in the world would have thought that some way or another I'd get along better and preach better to people? Hell, friend, who was rough and lots of times who had difficult and rough and coarse and my friend, wicked background. I do better with them than what I do religious people most of the time and the church people. Amen. That's exactly right. Who'd ever thought that? Who'd ever thought while Philip was preaching revival in Samaria and everybody was coming out to hear him and everybody was showing up and everybody was getting saved, that God would send him out in the wilderness? You're a desert place for one man.
church building, no pulpit, I'm not seeing no pews, no altar, and no piano, no organ, no choir to sing. Just as I am, and just not seeing the wilderness, a chariot, a man from Ethiopia. It seems to not be a very good setting for preaching. But thank God they had a Bible, they had a sinner, and they had a preacher. And praise God, the Lord can do business like that.
And he opened the Word of God. And he opened his mouth. And that ain't what I'm preaching home, but praise God for it. And he preached unto him, Jesus. And God saved that man's soul. Hallelujah. And he was baptized into that place where they found water. And Philip got right excited about it. Amen. You'd think now he just have been preaching to thousands in Samaria. What difference does one person in the wilderness make? He went there in obedience to God, and God answered prayer and did something when he obeyed God, and Philip got keyed up about it. I'm going to tell you now, I hadn't got to have my friend the 500 in a congregation to preach to in order to be excited about it. Amen. And it's a good thing, because most of my preaching's not done in front of a congregation of 5,000 or 500. Amen. Matter of fact, I have preached to fewer than 5, and I try to preach to them the same way that I preach to you here on Sundays. Oh, my friend, hear me. Philip had a congregation of one, and he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. And my friend, zealously and with fervor and joy and anointing, shared the gospel of Christ of this sinner who was seeking after the Lord. And God worked in this man's life, and Philip got keyed up about this thing. Amen. Oh, friend. Thank God. And he preached to him Jesus. Philip baptized the man, and he came up rejoicing. And I believe the man rejoiced in Philip too. The Bible says he baptized him, took him down in the water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Amen. Caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, according to verse 39. And he went on his way rejoicing. Praise God. But Philip was found at Azotus and passed through, and he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Well, he got carried away. But my friend, literally, he was carried away so that the next time he was seen, he was in another town still preaching the Word of God. Some today would say Philip was a bit rowdy. He got a little bit wound up in that place. Oh, he made maybe just a little bit too much noise. He got a little too demonstrative in his worship. He took it just a little bit too far for what some would say in our time. Oh, he, my friend, got a little, I got way too emotional about this. Matter of fact, he got caught away. Amen. He got carried away with this thing. The Bible said whenever he saw somebody get right with the Lord, but I'm telling you, Philip knew that he had something to shout about. And I'm trying to preach to you this morning and tell you that we do too. I've got something to shout about. The inspirations would say, I've got something to shout about. I mean to make heaven my home. I say I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Reason to rejoice. I have reason to shout. Don't let the crowd be saying, don't carry it too far. Don't get too loud. Don't get too emotional. Don't get too excited. Don't let the crowd of dry eyes sap all the life and the joy and the worship out of you. We have something to shout about. Amen. We come from a long line of shouters. Hey, the people of God been doing this a long time. Been worshiping God a long time. Been making racket with what the world didn't like for a long time. And we still have something.
Amen. I have folks that I work with. Oh, friend, now they done made it, you know. Some of them done made it. Executives and so forth. Working in a financial services business. Some of them don't make all that terrible much money, but they get to wear nice suits and get a company car, and their business cards look nice. They got all sorts of designations and my friend letters behind their name that they think means they're important. Oh yeah, one of them is AUTCF. It's behind mine. I got the designation, Life Underwriting Training Council Fellowship. Oh, FSS, Financial Services Specialist. That, my friend, you'll see CLU, a Career Life Underwriter, a CPCU. That, my friend, you'll see a bunch of them, a CHFC. Behind the names, all the designations, supposed to tell if they know what they're doing. Oh, one day brought him down to size. We had a little boy that had his head sort of hung up in the clouds. About all of his designations, that AUTCF behind his name. One of our customers had no idea what that meant. He thought it was his last name. And he called up and said, I need to speak with my age. I think his name is, let me look at this card down there, Mr. Lucifer. Don't get too lifted up in yourself this morning. Some of them will look at me and say, now I hear tell. You're some kind of preacher. I said, you're not one of them yelling preachers, are you? I'll say, I sure am. I'm one of them. Amen. Or they'll say, what kind of preacher are you? They want to know Baptist, a Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever else it might be. They're hoping it ain't too bad, you know. And then they'll say something like that. Now, I'm making set uneasy in the chair when I say I'm an old time hellfire and brimstone Baptist preacher. Oh, you're one of them. Yes, I am one of them. I'm not ashamed to be identified with this old time way. I tell you, we come from a long line of leather long sounding Christians. I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, saved folks been acting a way that the world don't understand for a long time, because we got somebody living in us that the world don't know. Hallelujah. This man went to Jerusalem, tried to worship, could not. Didn't even know how to worship. But when Philip preached unto him, Jesus, they both went down in the water. They both come out of the water rejoicing. And the preacher got carried away. And hey, man, the eunuch learned what it was to worship God. Amen. The rituals and the repetitions and the formalism and the showboatings and the presentations, and my friend, that's not worshiping God. Well, that's right. Matter of fact, so long as what you think everybody's impressed with you and your performance, likely you ain't done a bit of worshiping. Until you have humbled yourself down and embarrassed your flesh and behaved in a manner you would not of yourself, and let God just come through and flood your soul. Oh, chances are you haven't done an ounce of worship. Amen. My Lord. And so Brother Matthew said, you're not supposed to be impressed with my outline and all the rest of that stuff. This morning, that's a good thing, because I ain't touched none of it yet. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, but I got something to shout about. Oh, that's right. Don't let this whole dry, modernistic, crusted over crowd silence your sound and sap the life out of you. Don't let this Hollywood evangelism crowd, this a bunch of smooth, polished over fellows with the $1 million facilities and the mega $1 million and my friend, the multimedia presentations. Don't let them take all the life out of you. Worship is not about presentations. Preaching is not about presentations. Being a child of God is not about putting on a front. But I tell you, we got something to shout about. We got a reason to worship. And I realize we're in the computer age. I realize this is an electronic and a digital day that we're living in. But I saves. Not Bible preaching has not changed. Oh, that's exactly right. Open the Bible, open your mouth, preach Jesus. Our people gladly receive Him. Their worship will be like that of the old days. Amen. Because somebody lives in us that lived in them. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. That's exactly right. He's still God. And He'll never, ever change. Oh, thank God. It was the South that brought down the Jericho walls in Joshua chapter number 6. Israel greeted the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant of God into the camp with a shout in 1 Samuel 4 verses 5 through 6. When the Israelites returned from Babylonian captivity, and Brother John mentioned it this morning in the Sunday school lesson, they laid the foundation and rebuilt the temple, and they shouted with a great shout and praised the Lord, and things got carried away around that place. Ezra 3 and 13 said it was so that the people could not discern the noise of a shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard from afar off. Somebody said, "Shout!" They took it a little too far. They just about got it right. Amen. It is just about normal. The temperature said just about right. I tell you, we have something to shout about. Hallelujah.
Zephaniah. Amen. I told you we didn't spend enough time in them Old Testament prophets this morning. Amen. Zephaniah said in chapter number 3 and in verse number 14, he commands us to sing, to shout, to be glad in the Lord, to rejoice with all thine heart. Oh, how we ought to listen to the word of the man of God and to do that. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 11 said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Don't sound much like a program, my friend, a program, formal service. Somebody said that's traditional. It ain't too traditional. You go in the Word of God and find out what the tradition of the saints was. It was to worship God in spirit and in truth. Josephus, that secular historian who wrote so much about the church in the early days of the church, I said when God's people got together and the man of God would read the Word of God, or he would say a prayer, that the people would answer amen together affirmatively, so loud it sounded like a sea, a wave of the sea, or a wave of the ocean, as they all together would renounce amen. Well, I'm telling you, friend, it's always been a tradition, if you will, and more than a tradition, a privilege of the church to be able to raise our hands and knowing there is now no condemnation and say Jesus took care of it all, and hallelujah, man, I'm saved. I say I've got something to shout about.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's right. I've been told all you do is try to stir people up. Some folks need some stirring. That's exactly right. Hey, friend, I tell you in a word, too. You preach the Word of God and Holy Ghost anointing and fire. It'll stir saved folks up to worship. It'll stir lost folks up to get all tore up. Amen. It'll cause some of them to get mad. It'll cause some of them to get under conviction. It'll cause some of them just want to get saved. And then they'll get glad. Amen. That's saying, you know, that same crowd that said, "Man, if I never would act like that crazy preacher down there at Truth Baptist Church. I never would raise my hands like that crowd down there does. I never would say hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord. I never would walk around down in that altar and squall. I never would sit in the floor. I'd better jot and boo-hoo out loud." That's saying, you know, the same one that said, "I never would." They'll be the one that does. Oh, that's exactly right. Praise God, because we have someone living in us. It makes me want to shout, makes me want to cry. That sets my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah. When God lifts His love in my heart, we have reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, amen.
repent. Praise God. Psalm 32 and 11 said, be glad in the Lord. I don't know if I read that enough, but I'll read it again. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Psalm 47 and 1 says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. I got some good Baptist brethren that don't like hand clapping. And so I'm taking the rings off this morning to let them know this is for them. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. And the Bible says, oh, clap your hands. I'm not talking about giving applause to men. I'm talking about not talking about applauding the show. I'm talking about sometimes it ought to make us happy. You stand up and you laugh and you cry and you shout and you clap your hands and you stand up and sit out and run around and just don't know what to do. I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad I got something to shout about.
Hallelujah. Oh. Psalm chapter 47, verse 1 again. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm of Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 15 said, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving praise in His name. Someone said, I'm going to shout silently. Well, hey, friend, a silent shout is kind of like a pretend supper. Hey, you can pretend all you want, but your belly's still going to be growling for something real. And the silent shout is just about as filling. I tell you, you really want to get right with God. You really want to enjoy God. You really want to rejoice in God. Quit trying to fool me by telling me how you shouted silently. And my friend, open your mouth like Philip and just go ahead and say it. Thank God I'm saved. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. I love everybody. My sins are gone. Jesus is my Lord. God is my Father. The church is my family. I'm in this thing. Oh, I'm stock and barrel. I'm on my way to heaven. The future's looking brighter.
Sometimes you see me and think, well, Brother Toby's unhinged this morning. But this is just one of them days. And I'm glad I got some joy. And down in my heart, I tell you, if God lives in you, you've got something to shout about.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Oh, worship God in the heart. You'll have to praise Him with your lips.
Amen.
You can praise Him with your lips and your heart far from Him. But if you'll get your heart near to Him and praise Him with your lips. Wow, hey. Let me just go ahead and say something. I'll say it while she's not here. My wife's always with me. She's always here. Her and Gracie and Caitlin and Julia even. Sometimes y'all wish she wasn't here. Because she acts crazy sometimes. Most of the time she's okay. But Julia sometimes acts crazy. That's what 4-year-olds do. But now it's unusual for them not to be with me. And they're calling her family coffee drinking convention, as Brother John says. And so they call her family and they'll be back before next week. But I'm going to tell you something. She likes to tell me how much she loves me. She does. She likes to tell me that. And I like it pretty good for her to tell me. But I tell you what I like a lot better is when she quits loving me with her heart and decides to tell me with her lips. Amen. That's exactly right. She comes along. And it's not just a text message or even her voice. But she gets up real close. And it tells me that she loves me and lays a big wet kiss right square on my mouth. I'd rather have that than all the words in the world. I mean, friend, I want to have something. And it ought to show up outwardly. Amen. If you're in love with Jesus and He's in love with you, you ought to give Him the fruit of your lips this morning. You ought to praise Him with your lips. You ought to open your mouth like Philip. Preach a lie.
I tell you, we've got something to shout about. Hallelujah. Unless you think shouting, I've read to you all these Old Testament passages. Unless you think shouting, worship, and praise was something reserved for those Old Testament days, God gave us confirmation in Romans chapter 15 and in verse number 9, and that the Gentiles, that's us, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause will I confess thee unto the Gentiles and sing to thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And laud him, all ye peoples. I'll tell you, one of the greatest failures of the modern church age is the failure to genuinely and openly and without reservation praise the Lord. Oh, but we have something to shout about.
Hallelujah. I'll give you a few things. I'm going to wind her down, slow it down just a minute and preach to you. Philip wasn't shouting all the time. He'd preaching sometimes, shouting sometimes. So I've already done a little bit of one. We'll do a little more of it in a minute, praise God. But I need to open my mouth and preach to you just a minute now. And so I pray the Lord to help us. We got something to shout about ourselves, not just empty. I preached last Sunday night, rejoice in the Lord. Our rejoicing is not in the flesh. Our rejoicing is not in self. Our rejoicing is not in our abilities. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. I've got something to shout about. I'm shouting this morning because I have the scriptures that are right. Amen. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Thank God for a Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for a Bible that is right, that is accurate, that is inspired, that is infallible, that is, my friend, in every way right. I praise His high holy name. Psalm 33 and 4 said, the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. John 17 and 17, Jesus prayed for the church and said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I shout this morning not just with some emotional thing like you would at a ball game when they're hollering for the runner to go, go, go. But I tell you, I shout with confidence and with substance because the word of God. I shout with confidence, for I have no reservations about the accuracy or the authority of the word of God. I am certain that I can live my life by it. Thank God for a copy of the Word of God. This book tells me about myself. It tells me who I am, how I got here, and what I'm to do while I am here. And this whole world doesn't know any of those things. They don't know who we are. They don't know how we got here, and they don't know what we're supposed to do while we're here. Amen. All my friend of the days of the Looney Tunes and the kooks that stand on top of some mountain sucking in mountain air, and my friend with their legs crossed and humming and trying to find themselves in meditation, and they still will not figure out what they're here for, what they're supposed to do. But the answer is found in the Word of God. Oh, all the riches of the land of Ethiopia could not satisfy this eunuch. What he found in Jerusalem when they're having religious ceremonies, I could not satisfy this man. That when an old time preacher, sort of rough around the edges, had showed up under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, opened his mouth and opened the Bible and preached unto him Jesus, the eunuch found what his soul had longed for. Hallelujah, I have found him. The one for whom my soul decreed. He satisfies my longings. I praise God. I'm telling you, the old songwriter said, I searched for him and knew not what I searched for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. Then I met Jesus and I knew that I would search no more. He filled a longing in my soul. Praise God for the Word of God that tells me about myself.
People go to and fro looking for purpose and meaning and answers and fulfillment. But the Word of God tells me how God made all things in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh. And on the sixth day He made man in His own image and in His own likeness, and breathed in His nostrils a breath of life, and He became a living soul. We are not the product of millions of years of the biological development of some mixture of random goo that progressed into intelligence to become people capable of being educated and refined. We are the direct creation of a great, big, wonderful God. And we have within us a soul that was sparked, my friend, by the breath of a divine sovereign. I learned who man is. I learned who I am by looking into this Word of God. It tells me about myself. But I'm going to tell you something else. It tells me about my sin. Amen. This whole world won't tell you about your sin. Everybody wants to soft pedal everything. Everybody wants to pat around on you, make you feel good. I'll tell you what's wonderful about you. But I'll tell you, the Word of God says, in you that is in your flesh, there's not one good thing. Oh, my friend, that's right. This Word tells me about my sin. And this is what so many despise about the Word of God. But I'm thankful for a holy writ. It tells me about what's right and what's wrong. My heart, according to this Bible, is desperately wicked, and who can know it? My mind, according to this Bible, is only evil continually. In my flesh, according to this Bible, dwelleth no good thing. My righteousness, according to this Bible, is as filthy rags in God's sight. And I don't even have the wisdom in my life to discern this wickedness in myself. That the Word of God tells me, it tells these things to me. Oh, my friend, we may would have simply observed many outward transgressions by the evil that they produced, and the results of those deeds, murder, theft, adultery, that those inward sins that are the root of these bad things had to be revealed by the Word of God. Oh, that's exactly right. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 said, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The Word of God is like a mirror, according to James 1 and 23, and it shows us what we really look like in the sight of God. I tell you, I shall, because I've got a Bible that's right. It tells me about myself. It tells me about my sin. Lord, give it wind to preach a little longer now. It tells me about my Savior. It reminds me that we're ours. And God committed His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And thank God for a Savior. Thank God for a friend. When the Word showed me who I was and what I'd done, I felt myself lost and eternally ruined. Oh, had the Word of God not told me also of a Savior, I'd have no reason to shout. But in a little town called Bethlehem, there was an alarm sounded in the heavens by a band of angels crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Matthew 1 and 21, may preach some more there tonight, and He said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. At 1 Timothy 1 and 15, it's a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Of Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That verse number 13 said, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God, it was this Word of God that told me about a Savior. And Hebrews 7:25 said, wherefore He is able, He is is able also to save them. And to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I've got something to shout about. I have the scriptures that are right. They tell me about a Savior. Now, we're not shouting empty this morning. I'm about empty on gas as far as fuel for this whole body. Oh, but I'm sure I'm feeling full in my spirit. We're not shouting on empty this morning. We've got a scripture that's right. I want to say we've got a Savior that is reliable. I'm shouting because I have a Savior that's reliable. All of the government officials in the land of Ethiopia had failed this man. No doubt he's the right-hand man to the queen. He has talked with her about his emptiness spiritually. He's mentioned it to those who are spiritual in the land. They've given him leave to go all the way to Jerusalem on this, a spiritual pilgrimage, looking to worship, trying to find answers. He could not have left without their permission. And without their blessing, they could not help him. Oh, my friend, the priest and all of those marching around with funny hats on their heads and nice fancy robes and with pomp and circumstance and with glory in the temple in Jerusalem, they could not help him. Religion had done him no good. His wealth had failed him. His soul from hell or fear, the longing down in his heart. But when the country preacher showed up and opened a Bible and opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus, he found a Savior he could count on. He found a Savior that was reliable. Oh, I found that men may let you down. Preachers can disappoint you. Churches may fail you. Governments and rulers rise and fall. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust Jesus. Amen.
I shout because I have a Savior that's reliable. Hallelujah. Well, what about that preacher up the road or down the road that did such and such? I know all about that. Probably know more about it than what you do. But I'm telling you, Jesus will never let you down. Amen. That's exactly right. I got a lot of preachers that I got confidence in. And if they went sideways, if they called me up, and by the way, I know I'd do this because I've done it. They pick up the telephone, call me and say, Brother Toby, I've turned in my credentials. I've quit preaching. I have done all that I can do. I've hit the brick wall. I can't do it anymore. I'm giving up the ministry. My family's come apart. My home is falling apart at the seams. I'm stopping the preaching business. I don't even know if I'll go to church anymore or not. I have fielded those phone calls not once but on many occasions from some of my very best friends and men that is a whole lot better preachers than what I am. And I realize that I am not above it. Oh, but I'm telling you what I have done. I've said that sure does break my heart. And I am sorry to hear that. And I regret that this is the direction of your life. But I didn't go home and say, well, then I'm preaching no more. And if they're not doing right, then I'm just going to quit too. I went home, got in my prayer closet, grabbed my Bible and said, God, help me. I do not want to be in that case. I do not want to go that same route. Oh, God, you've got to help me. I tell you, when mother and father let you down, when brother and sister let you down, when the church member and preacher let you down, then the Lord will let you up. I'm not pumped up this morning on my favorite Baptist evangelist. I'm not leaning on some person somewhere who's no more of the infallible than what I am. But I tell you, I'm resting in the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His high and holy name. I shall, because I have a Savior who is reliable.
Amen. My wife's pastor, when she was just a little girl, was Bud Wicks. Some of you grew up with Bud preaching through you. Oh, and he never changed and he never quit and he never gave up. But I tell you what he did do. He got old and he got sick and he went the way of all the earth and he passed away. And it came prop up on him now. He's preached funerals for virtually for your confidence. I appreciate your prayers. They mean more to me than anything in the whole world means to me. And more than I can tell you about. But don't be leaned up and propped up on me. I say I'm saying turn to the day I hit the grave. But one day I'm going the way of the grave. You better lean on Jesus. The Savior is reliable. The Savior will never let you down. He's alive and well. Hallelujah to His name. You can lean on the Savior. He's reliable. Hallelujah. Some of those men that laid their hands on me and charged me with preaching the gospel have gone sideways. Some of them's gone to the grave. That's been 25 years ago. Some of them's gone to the grave. Oh, but I can lean on the Lord Jesus. The one who was my friend in the beginning is still there beside me. Some have come and gone, but He's been faithful every step of the way. Amen. Oh, we can depend on Him this morning. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as a certain also of your own prophet poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Deuteronomy 33 and 27 said, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath there is everlasting." I cannot make it on my own, but I know this, and I declare my dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I rejoice in Him because He's dependable. We can depend on Him. We are defended by Him. You ever feel like you're under attack? Man, days go by that I feel like everybody in the whole world's against me. And there are some days I don't think I'm too far from being right. Amen. Oh, feels like the whole world is against you. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 said, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not freely with Him also give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Oh, my friend, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're defended by Him. He's the captain of our salvation. I tell you, we are devoted to Him. I tell you, He's my Lord in Ephesians 4 and 5. He's my captain in Hebrews 2 and 10. He's my King in Revelation 19, 16. He's my mediator in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. And by the way, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's my advocate. When I face an adversary in 1 John 2 and 1, I am devoted to Him because He is everything to me. You wonder why I carry on like I do. I've got something to shout about. I'm closing with this now. I'm shouting this morning because I got a salvation that's real. Amen. I got a salvation that's real. And I'm going to tell you this, a salvation that's real is a salvation you can feel. Amen. Oh, that's right. Hey. And just because that you feel good don't mean you're saved. But thank God saved folks get to feel good. Amen. We get the joy of the feeling of the Holy Spirit. We get the feeling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, of the Holy Spirit. But thank God sometimes we also get the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And I praise the Lord for that. One old preacher said, "A salvation, the sovereign thought it, the Savior bought it, the Spirit brought it, and I got it." Amen. That's something to shout about. I am part of God's divine plan of redemption. I'll tell you what it is to be saved. I was convicted of my sins. I was cleansed by His blood. I was saved by His indwelling power. Because of that, I am happy in the Lord. I have a hope of eternity. I have a help that walks by me every day. I have a home waiting on the other side. And somebody said, "I wouldn't get I wonder, do you, I'm about tired of folks trying to convince me that the reason that they don't rejoice and shout and praise God is because that they just feel like the church house is a place that should be reserved for too much dignity and too much sort of respect than to act that way. I'm convinced they ain't got nothing to shout about. Take that or leave it. I didn't tell you what the Bible said. I told you I'm convinced of it. And if I'm wrong, you please forgive me. But I'm going to tell you, I believe saved folks have got to. If you got inside of you what I've had living in me for the last 25 years, 25 years this month, how about that? What I've had living in me for the past 25 years, I mean, it'd make you do more than what you do most of the time. Amen. That's exactly right. I mean, sometimes it just tears me off pieces. Oh, yesterday afternoon, I was sitting there and studying the Word of God, and I mean, just all at once. I'm talking about God just kicked a bucket of honey over in heaven all at one time. It oozed out a window of glory, dripped right down smack dab in the middle of 56 Taylor Circle, and I mean, overwhelmed me right there in the middle of my office. I mean, God, the God of heaven, paying attention to me in the middle of the day on a Saturday afternoon. And He knew who I was and where I was and what I needed. Ain't that something, friend? Well, maybe you think He owes that to you, but I know I'm nothing more than a speck of dirt. Oh, but praise God, He's mindful of me. I tell you, I've got something to shout about. Hallelujah to His name. Amen. And you don't have to act like I act to be saved. But brother, if you're saved, if you learned to act this way, you'd have yourself a time. Hallelujah. Oh my. So glad that I know the realness of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Bless His name. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, bless His high and holy name. Most of this old world, come sing for us till you know how it feels. Can you do that? Most of this old world's about like old Pharaoh it was in Egypt. Moses said, I need to take them youngins of the Lord out to the wilderness to worship. We gotta go out of town! We can't worship in Egypt. There's too much nastiness going on here. We gotta get out of this Egyptian place and get somewhere with the Lord by ourselves if we're gonna worship. I'm gonna tell you, sometimes Egypt overwhelms you and you gotta get out of there. You gotta get out of the Egyptian mindset and the Egyptian atmosphere if you're gonna worship God. The average church has turned into Egypt all over the place. Amen. That's why I don't want everything that got going on in the average church and surely not everything that's going on in the world. I want God in our midst. And Moses said, we've got to take these youngins of the Lord out in the wilderness to worship God. And Pharaoh said, well, that'd be all right. Said, you go ahead and worship, but said, don't go too far. Oh, Moses said, wait a minute, what do you mean? He said, don't go too far. Pharaoh said, just don't go too far. And Moses said, if we don't go 3 days, a journey, then we can't worship God. Moses, Pharaoh said, nope, that's too far. You know what a 3-day journey is, don't you? The death, the burial, the resurrection. A living Lord. The world does not want you to worship a living Savior. They don't want you worshiping in the lively hope. They don't want you having lively worship. They don't want the life of the Holy Ghost in our midst. That's just carrying things too far. But if you don't go too far, as Egypt defines it, you'll never worship the Lord. Moses said, we're going to take our old and our young. We're going to take male and female. We're going to take married and unmarried. our aged and our children. You know who's going to go with us? All of them's going to go. We're going to worship the Lord together. You know what Moses is saying? Don't you understand? And Mr. Pharaoh, worshiping God's a family affair. It's not about segmenting the population. It's a family affair. Oh, that's exactly right. Praise God. I'm so glad to see these babies and these children in the house of God this morning. Amen. That's right. I want them under the sound of the preaching and amongst the worship. Go ahead and show your children. You've got to go far if you're going to worship God.
Under this morning, you just need to get in a quiet place by yourself. Tune everybody and everything out and get in a place where you can worship God. Maybe in this altar, maybe in your pew. Maybe just in your heart. Some of you probably ought to just take a lap while she sings. But I want you to worship the Lord. Stand at your feet. I'll preach to you what God's given me. And I know this is Nursing Home Sunday and I'm not even worried about going long. I was given the short stick this morning. And so it's all right. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. I got something to shout about. If you're more worried about a sausage biscuit or a T-bone steak or pinto beans or the roast in your kitchen and what you are worshiping God this morning, chances are you ain't done none of it anyhow. Amen. But praise God for a place to worship the Lord. Sing for us.
about, do you know how it feels when your cold heart has melted?
25 years ago, the 25th of this month, 25 years ago, I was telling God how that I was just as good as anybody else down at the church and didn't even need to be saved. But before He got done with me, my cold heart had melted. And I was wondering if He even could save somebody as no count as what I was. But praise God, I know how it feels whenever He is knocks and I surrender and my tears are all washed away. Praise God. Hallelujah to His name. Say it for me.
When Peter and John come by his way and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. He didn't just walk. He rose walking and leaping and jumping and running and praising God. And somebody said, why are you carrying on that way? He said, you would too if you knew what it was to be a cripple made to walk. Amen. They told that blind man that was made to see. He said, don't you know this Jesus is a sinner? You don't need to praise Him. Said, don't glorify Him. He said, I don't know if it's a sin or not, but I do know this much. Whereas I once was blind, now I see. Fella, if you knew what it was to be blind and have your eyes open, then you know why I'm so happy. My mom sang a song when I was a boy that said, if you had known me before I knew Him, then you would know why I love Him so. Oh, praise His name. I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. Got something to shout about. Amen. I wonder, have you obeyed the Lord? We've gone a little long this morning. Gone a little long, but I'm telling you, I've obeyed the Lord. I am satisfied with the preaching that I've done this morning. Before I preached it, it was on me that I was responsible for it. Now that I've preached it, you're responsible for what you've done with it. Amen. Do remember, nursing home this afternoon. Well, 2:30, 2:45 probably.
Saturday morning, though, going to go with us. 10 o'clock, when we hear church prayer and head off for visitation. So, for tell you, Lord, just come and go with us. I have 7 or 8 so last, showed up last time. So, intend to go. Okay, pray for us.
I got some stuff for you, too, that you'll get with me. I got some stuff I've ordered for you. You tell me if you like it, so I get some more. This afternoon we'll probably run on up about 2:45 at the nursing home. If there's nobody mind, they got time, plenty of time, so they won't mind. About 2:45. 15 to 6 we'll pray tonight. We're gonna have baby dedication. Now some of you had a chance already to go to a shower or two for Sister Tosh, and that's fine. I appreciate that. We haven't had one here, but if there's something you'd like to bring for the little one tonight, that's okay. You're not under obligation to do that, but if you'd like to, that's okay. I'm just letting you know. And we're going to have baby dedication, and looking forward to that, and going to have a meeting tonight. I appreciate everybody coming and being part of the service this morning. Hadn't it been good to be